And welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie Mack, and I'm joined, as always,
by a very white guy.
And you are very white indeed. How are you today?
I'm all right.
That's good. If you're just joining us for the first time, welcome, and thanks for joining us, everyone else. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John, that's J-A-W-N, or you can go to our website, interracialjohn.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Periscope at Interracial John, and we love feedback. So you can leave us feedback in a couple of different ways. You can leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, which we really appreciate. And if it's 5 stars, we'll read it here on the air. You can also jot us an email, and you can send that to interracialjohn, again, J-A-W-N, at gmail.com. And you can pick up your phone and dial 657-JOHNERS, that's 657-J-A-W-N-E-R-S. And if it's under 3 minutes and not fuck shit, we will play it here on the air. Shout out to Rod and Karen from The Black Guy Who Tips for our general feedback rules.
Yeah, and we do have a 5-star review.
All right.
Cover your ears. Ain't got shit. Five stars. Thank you. 5-star review. This is from a friend of the John. Think pretty smart.
Hey, Miss Smart.
Fellow podcaster. Fantastic mix of all that's good. Think pretty smart says this is a great mix of stay woke and stay ratchet. You want to know about social action? They're on it. You want to hear initial reaction to the latest in pop culture? Get it here. In other words, this show is a mind message. Get you a piece. Oh, thank you. Think pretty smart.
I think that's so much. Mind massage, but.
A mind massage. You're right. Mind message, maybe, like, that's the subliminal part. Mm. Defiantly, as Carl would say. Mm-hmm. You get the mind message.
Right.
But it's a mind massage.
Mind massage.
And some days.
Mm-hmm. And we also have a voicemail, so let's play that.
Hey, Leslie and Drew. It's P, a.k.a. Outstanding, calling from Brooklyn.
Big up, Brooklyn.
Holding it down. Just wanted to make sure I get a word in or get a response into Katisha, because I wasn't able to put my gift together. Sure, after we fight, we can do brunch. Yeah, I'm all about that. Brunching is what I do. anyway, Lord, just wanted to say I am so sorry to hear that Leslie's efforts didn't, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. For your alma mater, I'm assuming all the work you did for your alma mater, because you guys were tweeting out a lot, was definitely not appreciated by your peers and some of your fellow, I forget the school, I'm sorry. Wasn't appreciated, so I'm sorry to hear about that. And I found it funny that Drew's brother put hot water in the refrigerator as you guys were Airbnb-ing. But anyway, I just wanted to put in a quick call and say I've been enjoying the podcast and keep it up and, look forward to more. Okay.
Aww. Aw, thanks, Outstanding WC. We appreciate that. And yeah, that water in the
I don't want to speak for you, but I'll just say the work is at EWS, Emma Willard School, is the alma mater. It's ongoing. It's exhausting. It's frustrating. It's a phalanx of bullshit, but you're not throwing in the towel, and this ain't over. And keep listening. Keep posted.
Yes, we'll keep everybody posted about that for sure. I will, anyways. And it's definitely, it sucks. I just wanted to mention, everybody, we do have some guests this month.
I don't want to say like I'm like, I don't know how I feel, but like maybe like honored a little bit. Like,
that's gonna be fun.
It's a really good bevy that we have.
Yeah,
good
we have some
people.
New people. We have next week. We have D-Palm from Movie Trailer Reviews and DudeYouCrazy.net. He's his first time on the show. Drew's done quite a few reminiscing with Chris's with D-Palm and Chris from Insanity Check. So this will be really cool to have D-Palm on. Chris has been on plenty of times.
Yeah, I love D-Palm, and he's got a grasp of the like broader political. Like historical stuff really well. Yeah. I like his take on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's a smart dude. And then on the 17th of August, we have Takiya coming on, who's one of the newly appointed lead organizers of Black Lives of UU, among many other things. We'll be talking to her about all sorts of stuff. She's hilarious. You guys are going to love her. Shout out to her. She listens to the show. Hey, Takiya. And then on the 24th, we have Beauty Jackson Mel from The Good and Terrible Show, who's making a return appearance here on the show. Excited for that. And at the end of the month, on the 31st, closing things out, we have repeat guests, the co-hosts of What's the Tea, Nick Jew and R to the Edgy. And I'm super excited about that. One of my personal favorite shows we've ever done was the last time Nick and Reggie were on. So I'm super excited.
They're really
good.
I dig them.
As are they. So that's what's coming up. We'll have all those listed on the show and we'll promote them accordingly.
Yeah. How come we don't have anything to catch up? Wait, when did we podcast last? Was it a week ago?
Yeah.
There's nothing to catch up on?
No, I mean, I didn't write anything in there, but usually we just talk about whatever.
Well, I can't remember. My brain's a mush. Mm-hmm. We podcasted a week ago?
Yes, like we usually do.
And what did we do? Did we go anywhere or do anything?
In the last week?
So. Not really.
I don't think we've done much in the last week, actually.
No, we've been pretty homebound.
Yeah, just, you know, regular.
We had a friend had a birthday. Bought, like, some expensive bottle of scotch.
That's true.
That was some shit I never heard of before. Like, the bottle, the company that made the scotch, like, either couldn't or wouldn't sell it in the United States.
Right.
Like, I think their distribution deal doesn't allow them to sell bottled scotch here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
So this other company buys the scotch in barrels and then, like, as, like, a future, I guess.
Okay.
And then, like, keeps them in a secure location and bottles it. But then, like, the bottle says, like, this name of the scotch you can't buy. But then it's in a box of the name of this company that, like, kind of did it.
Oh.
I'd never heard of anything like it. It was like Graham and McPhail's version of
that thing.
Yeah, and it was like a 21-year-old, like really rare, this or that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it sounded foo-foo. I'd like to get, I know they don't listen to the podcast, but I hope I get a taste. Well, I just want one taste.
Just to check it out. I'm sure.
I'll get a taste.
They'll check it out. Oh, we did have the MLK sit-in, so that's what we did over the weekend.
Yeah.
That was it.
You had about 30, 40 different locations participating. Mm-hmm.
And we have decided, based on feedback and the success of it, Feminista and I are going to be doing it every year. So the last Sunday in July will be MLK sit-in
Barbie.
So check that out.
Right on. We got to figure out something about that boulevard here in town. Did we even talk about that on the podcast? I don't think we did.
I talked about it on Twitter and I talked about it, obviously, at MLK, sit-in.
When we were... You were doing the national stuff, and we thought, okay, you know, what about Grand Rapids? And I didn't know if you were even going to have capacity to do anything here, and maybe we shouldn't have done something here.
Why?
Just you're so busy. You're so busy. It was a lot. But so we looked at, like, there's two things that are weird. The park isn't MLK Jr. It's just MLK Park.
Which is weird.
It's like, did you forget the Jr., I guess?
There's a few people with that name, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, we found out that Division Street, which I guess is a state highway, so you can't necessarily, like, I don't know, there's some rules and some bullshit about what can be named this or that because it's a state highway versus not. Like, Division on our map.
Oh, says, no, it has nothing to do with the state highway thing. That white lady was just trying to act like she knew
bullshit.
Stuff. Okay. She doesn't know anything.
So, but a private citizen, quite a few years ago, maybe in the, like, late 80s, 90s, fundraised, got a bunch of money, and made their own signs, aluminum signs, for Division Street that said Martin Luther King Boulevard. MLK Jr. Boulevard. And they're still up there, but they're faded and gone. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a blank, like...
It's white. It's, like, blank.
Yeah,
it looks like just a blank white sign.
You can't even see the lettering at all.
Yeah, you can't see anything.
The sun has just...
If you get close to it, you can see... Because it's kind of, like, raised.
A watermark almost.
So you can kind of see, like, the outline of the lettering. So you could, but... I mean, driving by, if you're just looking at it, like, straight on from the street, it just looks like a blank... Like, it's waiting to be something else.
And it's such a sad testament that a citizen had to come up with the money and do it, and B, that it got done and now it's fucking neglected and just this sort of forgotten, like, oh, it's a blank white aluminum sign.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And now that you know what it is, as you drive up and down Division Street, you're like, look at all these fucking blank white aluminum signs.
Yeah, he paid for a lot of signs.
Yeah,
so,
like a whole segment of it.
Mm-hmm.
kind of bizarre.
Very Grand Rapids ish.
Yeah, it's about Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into it.
The news is coming on. The news is coming on.
So I admittedly didn't quite read this full thing because I just looked at the picture. Matt Damon saves China from dragons in the Great Wall. So I guess one, I'm confused because I know the history of the Great Wall of China and mm-hmm. the invading hordes, and it did not, to my knowledge, include dragons. That's just me. And rather than me talk about Matt Damon portraying a Chinese individual.
The Last Samurai centers around Tom Cruise, a Civil War veteran who goes to Japan and teaches the Emperor's troops how to fight.
Mr. Mooney?
No, another movie this I was offended by. Hollywood is crazy. The Last Samurai starring Tom Cruise?
Mm-hmm.
He's the Last Samurai?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break. That movie was offensive. Hollywood is crazy. First they had The Mexican with Brad Pitt, and now they've got The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. Well, I've written the film. Maybe they'll produce my film. The Last Nigga on Earth, starring Tom Hanks.
So, I know that he's not playing a Chinese guy. I get it. But why does every fucking goddamn thing have to be centered around a white fucking hero? It's in fucking China.
Yeah.
It's in China.
Yes, it stars Matt Damon alongside Chinese superstars in a crazy-ass smoke and spears and fire and arrows battle on the Great Wall against fire-breathing dragons. It's set in ancient China 1,000 years ago.
How does that get greenlit?
First of all, I don't know how it gets greenlit at all, but like
greenlit?
Why it needs Matt Damon, I really don't understand. How would he have gotten to China 1,000 years ago?
I don't want to know. I don't need to know.
That movie. I hope it never comes out.
Absolutely. It's
absurd.
Supposed to come out in like 8 months, like February of 2017, mm-hmm. 10 months, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I just, cripes almighty.
Yeah.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why fucking Hollywood? Why? Mm-hmm. I just, anyway.
Yeah. I don't know, but you can set a movie anywhere and anytime, any place, any location, and it will require a white dude to be there.
The entirety of Egypt was apparently white.
Yep. Just for the movies.
Yeah.
I saw this news. I thought this story sounded really interesting to me. A Detroit engineer wants to turn old buses into tech labs for students. Detroit-born engineer Thomas Phillips believes that a high school diploma doesn't prepare young people for quality jobs as it once did. And as qualification standards start to rise, it's especially true in the tech industry. And he certainly knows what he is talking about. As I said, he's already been an engineer, and he actually does quality assurance engineering for Amazon. And so last month, he attended Hack the Central District Cultural Innovation Conference, Hack the CD, in Seattle. And it's a 2-day event in the Africatown neighborhood of Seattle Central District, where, according to their website, creatives and technologists from across the globe showcase new concepts and design. And he presented the Aspire Tech Bus. He says, I wanted to convert an old school bus into a tech lab, and I want to drive it around to different locations in the city and teach web development and other advanced STEM programming concepts to kids in Detroit. He wants to help students in the Detroit public school system who are interested in the tech industry, whether they want to pursue a college degree or just get a good job or become an entrepreneur, any of those things. So he's planning two 16-week courses, and they'll work on software development teams, including HTML and JavaScript and other programming languages. And they'll also create LinkedIn profiles for themselves and learn how to present themselves professionally on social media. I think it's just a really
amazing
idea.
Amazing.
It's so smart.
And it's a black guy, right?
Yeah, it's a black guy.
It's unbelievable story.
And so he's going to be starting a Kickstarter campaign, so we'll be sure to share that when it's available. But
yeah.
I just thought, what a novel use of some things that
Absolutely.
Aren't in use right now, and such a great way to have some disruption into the education system.
Absolutely. Give back in a way that is not part of that fucking hierarchical bullshit.
Yeah.
And the thing I immediately thought of, but like, how many images have you seen of these things that are basically trailers, like construction trailers, right? Like shit you'd see at a construction site. Parked out of a school on permanent blocks.
Yeah.
You know, like that's part of the expansion of a classroom in some of these places.
Yep.
Where it's like, and they're teaching the fucking, you know, this horrible, you know, like teach to the test kind of stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, you've got this guy taking a school bus, pulling it up. It's a fucking pimped out lab, teaching them shit. I love it.
I think
it.
It's great. It's really smart.
And like you said, I love stuff that's outside the system in that regard.
Yeah.
So this one, I'm not going to try to read the whole story because it's just sort of like a little bit convoluted, but a woman was arrested for shoplifting and then had a bench warrant. And then there was some, you know, and for people that haven't been through the legal system, and I don't want to say individual, but I know a lot of people tweet about it. It's horrible. Mm. The hoops they make you go through is just un-fucking-believable. Unbelievable. So this woman missed, a black woman missed a few things and she gets remediated. 75 days in jail, right? 75 days in jail. Yep. She's in custody because she can't bond out now. She's got to go for 75 jail, so she can't leave. She's in custody for about 3 days, 2 to 3 days. And it's not clear, because the police never fucking say shit or tell you nothing, whether she was arrested wearing pants, whether the pants didn't come off at the time of arrest somehow, somewhere. But the cops drag her into fucking court for this fucking hearing, mm-hmm. pantless.
Yes.
Okay? A woman without fucking pants marched into a public fucking building. And at least, you know, I say this a lot. It just takes one person. One, and we always use that Peking school
that had
the
school
inappropriate
district.
Name, yep. And nobody wanted to do it until one fucking dude was like, nope, I took the money, I changed the school board, here's new uniforms, it's done. And here, the judge was like, what in the entire fuck? Got on their cell phone, called the like jailer, was like, what's going on? Why is there a woman standing in front of me who's been asking for feminine hygiene products and pants for 2 to 3 days and is sitting here fucking bottomless in my courtroom? And it's just the denigration behind that. It just would never get down to a white woman. The white people are just, it's so gross, so gross. They took her to court. They marched her naked. That's like the most humiliating fucking thing ever.
You know, on the heels of that, I mean, the jail that she was in has a capacity of 1,800, and they're currently housing 2,200 inmates there. Which is how you don't have enough pants, because you're
sure,
issued
you
pants for 1,800
people,
and you have 400 more people than that. But I will say about the sanitary napkins, this is the thing that irritated me about the whole thing, was the way the judge acted. So like, this is outrageous, bitch. This happens every fucking day across this country to people, and jails in particular, and female prisons
sure.
in particular.
Overcrowding.
So for example, and this just to talk more about the menstruation piece, it's a very common practice that sanitary napkin supplies are in such bad, numbers in prisons that women just don't have them. It's pretty horrible and really depressing, because they have to buy these really expensive things from the prison themselves at an incredibly high price. They earn 75 cents a day, and a cost for a 24 pack of maxi pads costs $2.63.
So they work fucking like a week to fucking have their period.
Mm-hmm. And again, they have to use that 75 cents to buy toothpaste, which costs $1.50. Deodorant, $1.93. I'm just giving some examples of things they have to also buy for themselves. And then most of the time, you can't get them because they just run out of them in the commissary. So you just don't have them at all.
Yeah.
Inmates in Michigan filed suit last year alleging that pads and tampons were so scarce that their civil rights were being violated. One woman bled through her uniform and was required to dress herself in her soiled jumpsuit after stripping for a search.
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
So they talk about how asking a macho god for a tampon is humiliating, but it's more than that. It's an acknowledgement of the fact that ultimately the prison controls your cleanliness, your health, your feelings of self-esteem.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, it's there's no dentistry, right? You can't go get a fucking cavity filled. You can't go get a fucking tartar. There's so many things that are missing. And, you know, this probably should have been in the catch-up part, not the news, because this is really super tangential, but mm-hmm. like this sort of scarcity of resources. There's this thing here in Grand Rapids in Southwest Michigan that is absolutely bewildering to me with doctors. Mm. And so we're here. We're looking for a general practitioner. You know, I know my body and my needs. I've gone through doctors, and, you know, I manage my own, stability and health pretty effectively with a GP that I have a good rapport and a relationship with, and I want someone that's referred to me. And, like, you know, I'm not just going to go. In fact, I tried. Blue Cross Blue Shield was the closest place. Got a dude. And it was so bad. It was such a terrible experience. Mm. So now we're trying to get, you know, like an actual doctor. Good friend, here's a referral. Nope, they're not taking new patients. Another one, here's a referral. Nope, no new patients. Here's another one. They can see you in April. Nope, this one's on maternity. It was like, I don't want to say staggering, but the and I'm going to call it inability, because that's not true. But so here I am, like, you know, my prescriptions have run out. I'm having a little bit of a, you know, I don't call it a crisis, but like I'm in need. And I can't fucking get to a goddamn fucking doctor to save my fucking life.
Right.
The earliest appointment we made was 3 weeks from now.
Yes.
That was the best I could do.
That was the best.
That was like the eighth or ninth referral.
The other person was October. That would be the next date.
Yeah. And again, this wasn't just like random, I'm just dialing and smiling. Mm-hmm. These are people that have referred, like this is somebody I know.
Like friends of ours that are using these doctors. Yeah. They're just like, nope, we're not taking new patients.
Listen. When I dropped the one name, they were like, oh, okay, let me get you the head internist. Like, it was like, that person's name was like, okay, that's serious. We'll get you to somebody. And even that person's like, I'm sorry, we can't take new patients.
Right.
And so I started thinking, like, what does that mean to a poor person? Mm. What does that mean to a person who doesn't have insurance? What does that mean to somebody who doesn't have time to sit around and call and call and call and wait? What does that mean to Black and Latino folks? What does that mean? Like, you know, and then the thing here, this medical mile, all this research, they're doing a lot, like medical shit, like exploding. And have you kind of noticed what they're doing, Leslie?
What's that?
It's this, I can't quite describe it, but the services are, so there's a couple too big. There's Mercy, and I think the other one's Blodgett, but they're these big, like, you know, HMO conglomerate type deals. And so they have hospitals and kinds of whatnots, but there's all of these, like, I don't call them outpatient clinics, but like, not quite an ER, but like an urgent care facility. Right? So the impossibility of getting a doctor, I feel like they're shuttling people to these urgent care facilities. Like, I don't know, there's something weird, like the privatization of water and Flint and Detroit and how shit's going. I feel like there's some sort of like hoarding of fucking medical services.
Right.
And pushing of poor people to like really fuck ass, like, white savior, like literally, like the biggest one here is a Christian-run facility.
Well, that's the whole thing here, is like the whole Christian thing. But I mean, really, what most poor people do, and that's just not here in Michigan, is that, you know, they get their health care from the emergency room. They go to, you know, they have clinics. Yeah. I know they don't have those here, but
no, I'm saying the ERs here, they've made them like, I don't know, like in the poorer neighborhoods, like that where we were going to buy that one spot,
mm-hmm.
they had a thing that's not a hospital.
Right.
It's not a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. It's like an urgent care facility. But it had like hours you could come in bleeding and get stitches and shit.
Yeah.
And probably charge an arm and fucking leg if you didn't have insurance.
Well, if you have those places take Medicaid and Medicare.
All right,
that's
all
that's right. What they would use for those places.
But it still seems weird.
But I do think it's just like you have insurance and you have money to pay your copays. And
I've got the names of people that are like,
you should
come
be able
on.
To find a doctor. It shouldn't be that difficult.
It shouldn't have been that.
But that's a whole healthcare situation.
And it just seems weird in this town that I feel like is like they're kind of making themselves known for healthcare. Am I wrong?
They're not making themselves known for healthcare. They're making themselves known for health education, medical education. That's not the same thing. So like that medical mile is like you come here and you learn to be a specialist, then you go and are a specialist somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's not meant to like cultivate like actual like the best brain surgery, you know, facility is not going to be here. And I don't even know if brain surgery is included there. It seems like it's a lot of research facilities is what it seems
I'll
like
say
to
this
me.
Too. The number of doctors that were available, they do give you demographic information on my thing. I don't know if I even told you about this. Mm-hmm. I prefer women. That's just, you know, I think I have a better rapport with a female doctor. I was even looking for a woman of color. Nope. Like zero Black women doctors.
If you are a woman of color doctor, why the fuck would you be here?
Yeah, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. There's like, zero. There's none.
Like legit. Like there's no none. Reason for you to be here.
There was some.
I'm not saying Michigan. I think there's plenty. Like Ann Arbor would be a great place.
Oh, yeah. Up on
but
Dearborn.
Here?
Yeah.
Hell fucking no.
But there was a good number of.
Even Kalamazoo, I think.
And what's the. I forget. I don't know the correct nomenclature. Latina, Latino, Latinx.
Latinx is all encompassing.
And what and why? And I don't understand what Latina, Latino doesn't include that Latinx.
Well, it would
does.
Include non-gender. It wouldn't include non-gender conforming Latinx individuals.
Got
because
it.
The A or the is masculine or feminine.
Oh, because the language has masculine or feminine.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for that. I knew, but I didn't know that it was. Because of the gender binary of the inherent in that language.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I wonder what feminist or folks that are, you know, in terms of the language, I always thought it weird that like if you have, in Spanish at least, that masculine feminine thing,
mm-hmm.
like 88,000 women and it's feminine, 88,000 women and one man and it's masculine.
Yeah. I think language is interesting, especially the language around gender. I think it's going to be really interesting to see all of that play out in the next couple of decades, actually.
Yeah.
We've already seen that where, like, the New York Times style guide now allows the they for a singular. Things like that are going to start to be steeping into lots of different places. So I'm a languophile.
And what's the correct nomenclature or terminology for, so there's a lot of Latinx female doctors here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a good demographic of, I guess, like Indian or Middle East or mm-hmm. I don't know
Middle
what.
Eastern, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's the, is that considered Asian, I guess, Indian?
I would just say if they're Indian, then they're just Indian. But if you're doing, like, if you're trying to say Indian and like Pakistani and other things.
Yeah, I don't know what, yeah, I don't know what that whole region, I don't know what, you know, but I gather that there's a good segment of folks.
Yeah,
in those
so
areas.
That could be like Southeast Asia.
Asia, yeah. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
So the Latinx and Southeast Asia is well represented, but Black women, new.
Yeah, not surprising. This story came across my purview, and, you know, sometimes you see a headline and I think to myself, this can't be as bad as it looks like it could be. And then you read the fucking article and you're like, this is so much worse.
That's just so funny.
Here's the headline.
It's so funny.
I read it to you and I was like, this is the worst. You were like, oh, it can't be as bad. And I was like, it's so much worse. The headline is two Texas A&M football coaches suspended after, quote, chalk talk for women turns sexist.
And I'm just going to right now just put a pin in the word turns.
Mm-hmm.
just turns. When you read the story, it's like,
it didn't turn.
It turned?
It just was. In an attempt, this is the best part, is the goal of this thing, was to appeal to female fans. The Texas A&M football program hosted a chalk talk for women. Now, chalk talk is a general terminology used when coaches, talk about
X's and O's.
Yeah, the X's and O's, all of the ins and outs of the coaching and the game. And so, you know, that terminology is used. Like people that are not players per se would come and listen to a coach talk about their job. Okay.
And just again, sidebar, I want to say Randall Cunningham in Philadelphia's his wife at one point famously did these for other women so that, like,
they understood like in the 80s or whatever. Yes, absolutely. This is not
this.
Unusual. Not this one. So two Texas A&M assistant coaches, Jim Turner and Jeff Banks, fuck you both, offered both coaching tips and a few alternative lyrics to the school fight song. Let's just start off by saying they've been suspended for 2 weeks for everything I'm about to describe to everyone. But here are the offensive lyrics, because, and actually I found the lyrics to be the least of the problems, but let's just go through them. We are Aggie women. We are filled with estrogen. Hullabaloo, connect, connect, and back again. Maroon and white are the colors we love. We're putting down our dish towels and taking off our gloves. No more Lysol or Cascade. We want to score touchdowns and walk in the parade. We are Aggie women, and this is our song. Come on, bring it on. No more thong. Hullabaloo, connect, connect, and so on. Okay.
I just got to say, I know the fight song was written in like 1872 or like 1912, but like you're rewriting the lyrics for now.
Why? So now imagine you're a woman. You've been invited to this thing from a football team at your college, your university, to involve women in this important piece of the college experience. And they start with this bullshit. Next, they decide they have a slideshow they're going to do to go through the actual chalk talk. And as I said, chalk talk is connecting the work that they do, planning plays and coaching a game, to how you live and do your life, you know, outside of the game, right? So here's the first one. This is on a slideshow projected at the front of the fucking room. Pass blocking rules, the don'ts. There's three of them, folks. Number one, don't let him inside. Number two, keep your hips down. Number three, don't go down. Okay, let's say you saw that one and you thought, well, maybe they didn't understand that it was going to be some double innuendo there. Pass blocking rules, the do's. Okay, this is the one that really goes left and you're like, oh no, they're fucking assholes. Number one, spread them again. Number two, get erect. Number three, stay erect. And number four, bang him hard. I'm not done. The third slide, run blocking rules. The don'ts. Number one, no penetration. Number two, never bend over. Number three, don't end up on your back. and most offensive, the fourth slide. Run blocking rules the dues. Number one, spread your legs. Number two, enter front, not behind. Number three, push hard. Number four, finish on top.
Wow. And again, the headline turns sexist. Like, there's no turning. It just fucking straight out was. Mm-hmm. And again, sometimes, like, I really wanted to, like, I wish there was a fly on the wall. Because, like, I kind of feel like I know where these things go. Like, at some point, like, there's this mob mentality, right? Like, you're sitting around, like, somebody says one thing, like, oh, yeah, that's funny. Let's say a few other things. And, like, it keeps going and going. There's got to be at some point where somebody's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody, like, you put a PowerPoint. Like, you put that on a PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. You literally put that on a PowerPoint. Like, this is going to be great. Like, what were you thinking? Like, mm-hmm. What did you really, like... I understand, like, I honestly, I'm a dude. I get it. Like, I understand, like, shit and a bunch of dudes can go really fucking, like, horribly sideways. But, like, to make that a presentation in front of women? Come on.
Now, there's some apologies here, so I think we can do our I'm sorry song right now. And let's...
I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. So fucking sorry.
Let's hear it.
So we'll start with the head coach, Kevin Sumlin's statement. He says, there is absolutely no place in our program or in our university community for inappropriate conduct or degrading comments towards women or anyone, regardless of intent. While I was in attendance at the Chalk Talk event this week, I was engaged in meeting participants, taking photographs and signing autographs, and I was unaware of the contents of Jim and Jeff's presentation until this morning. Upon learning of the details, I immediately consulted with Director of the Athletics, Scott Woodward, and made the decision that both Jim and Jeff would be suspended without pay for 2 weeks, effective immediately, and will serve 20 hours of community service. I've addressed the issue with both of them and have their commitment to be better representatives of our program. On behalf of Aggie Football, I want to apologize for the comments at Chalk Talk and also for my failure to review their individual presentations. I want to thank the almost 700 women who came out this week, who not only participate in the program, but who supported a worthy cause in the Twin City Mission.
You know,
you know,
hold on a second. I got a sound effect for it. It's a goddamn commercial. I didn't have it ready because this is new. That's the bus.
Running over those guys?
That's the bus that dude just threw those people under. So I've heard apologies before, but, like, that's not an apology. That's an under-the-bus job.
Well, I mean, he did apologize for the comments and for his own failure to not review them ahead of time.
Fair enough.
I have to assume he's telling the truth because that's what he's saying. And if taking it at face value, if he's telling the truth, I'd give that apology, like, a 5.
I mean, give it a 4.
He acknowledged what was wrong with it. He said that it was completely wrong. He said it was his fault as well for not reviewing it.
He didn't express regret.
He started with that. There's absolutely no praise. He says,
that's
not expressing regret.
That's one of those, like, oh, man, the world's a horrible place, and this thing happened.
Right.
Like, no.
So the two assholes had their own fucking joint statement as well. Here's theirs. This is so ridiculous. We want to sincerely apologize to the passionate Aggie fans and to women everywhere for our failed attempt at humor during this week's Aggie Football Chalk Chalk and fundraiser. We clearly understand now that our comments and slides were not appropriate or consistent with the values of our football program or department. We must do better, and we will. Now,
zero.
That's against a fucking zero. It's fucking bullshit.
You know, can we just...
More interesting, though, is that this douchebag Turner was the coach that was fired from the Miami Dolphins offensive line in the aftermath of the bullying scandal involving Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito.
Of course. Incognito, fucking
right.
Of course.
So he came perfect back sense. To this school, and this is the first fucking bullshit that
perfect
he gets
sense.
Them into.
Perfect sense. Perfect
this is
sense.
What I'm saying. Like, white mediocrity?
How many How many chances is this guy going to get?
How many fucking chances does this asshole get?
He'll be at a non-FBS school.
Meanwhile, where's Mike Singletary right now? You know what?
Nowhere.
Fuck everything.
Nowhere.
This is what I'm talking about. Some bullshit.
I really want to just... I think for apologies for me, I really think the phrase... We want to sincerely apologize. It so absolves yourself of accountability.
Right.
How about I apologize?
Yes.
I apologize.
Like, you want to apologize. Well, how about you actually apologize?
Yeah. We want to sincerely apologize.
Nope.
Then do it. Don't fucking say you want to do it. Fucking do it.
Yeah.
I just, that to me, this, like, we want to is like step one. Step two is if you were offended. And step three is like, oh, we didn't really mean it that way.
Right.
And step four is, oh, the world's really horrible. And step five is we're glad we started this dialogue. Fuck entire out of here. Literally. That's a zero. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
The word apology, if it's framed in, we want to sincerely apologize, but it's not, we apologize, you start with zero.
Exactly.
In my book, you're done.
Ridiculous.
You're done.
Done, 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 done.
Mm. So,
speaking of apologies.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, you almost can't believe it, but, like, is there an audio that goes with this?
I don't think so. No.
I don't have to. So, cable customers, Charter Cable, I don't know how many, a couple thousand, 8,000 I think it was, were sent a message because, you know, your digital cable box had
push messages.
Yeah,
too.
You know,
right.
Bing, click here.
There you go.
And it said, fuck Black Lives Matter. And then it said, brought to you by Freak of Nature, Baby J and King Benji. And then it said, all N-words must die.
Mm.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
And, honestly, the lack of any empathy, compassion, understanding in any whatsoever. Because you see this shit not all the time, but you see like someone will get like a receipt from a fast food restaurant and it'll have some sort of like ethnic slur instead of their name. You know what I mean? Like when the customer's name's entered into the fucking system, it says something horrible about them. And it's like, why? I don't say like, not why do you do that, but like there's just no compassion for what that does to somebody. You know, you're fucking sitting at home. You fucking pay for this service. You fucking pay for it. You pay them money to deliver you fucking cable. And it's already the worst fucking service and the worst customer service in the fucking world. And I don't know how many of these people, they don't even have to be black. You can be white and be equally as offended by receiving this. And it's just...
I'm sure. It's horrible.
But like you're...
Where did it come from?
You're sitting at home. You're in your fucking home.
Yes.
You're in your own home. Like, I don't know about you, but like... TV, like, I know it's just stupid and TV and this and that. It is sacrosanct space, man. It's like where I fucking unwind and relax. Yeah. It's where I open a fucking beer and like the whatever my day is like, oh, let me fucking watch American Ninja Warrior and something fucking stupid and brainless and whatever. And then to get this fucking like all N-words must die, just I just can't.
And they put that 1488 in there, which is that like neo-Nazi,
And I forget the numerical 88, the Heil Hitler. Right. I forget what the 14's for, but
it's for their stupid slogan. They must. It's the whole white genocide thing. That 14. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children.
I don't know what the answer is here. They've got to be able to figure out how this happened, who did it, fire them, and this messaging system needs to be under a little bit,
but it has to be somebody at the place.
No, this was
interestingly enough. They merged with Time Warner Cable, but they keep referencing this as a Charter Cable problem.
Oh, really?
In May they
Time Warner is very.
So this is really a Time Warner problem. Yet nobody is calling Time Warner on it. So I call bullshit right there.
Yeah,
That's
because their very expensive PR firm was very quick to call
Charter. It's Charter. It's not us. It's Charter.
WFAA Channel 8 ABC News got a call from. Fucking an $1,800 an hour
just
lawyer.
Just say we merged. That's all you can say about it.
This was not Time Warner. It was Charter.
It was Charter.
Charter.
Disappointingly, this week, Bronx Assemblyman Mike Blake filed a complaint against the NYPD. Disgusting. He was roughly handled by an officer after asking about police activity in his own district, which again he is an elected official of. He was attending a family event at the Governor Morris houses in Harlem at East 169th Street and Washington Avenue. He saw a woman in handcuffs and approached the officers involved to discuss the situation. Right behind him, a little bit after that, a fight broke out behind him. He turned around to just go and hopefully try and defuse the situation. Now, in New York City, like your assemblyman's very involved in the community. Like, there's a lot of them because it's a big city. And so you know them and they're pretty active. And Mike, I know him personally. He's an amazing person, amazing lawmaker, and just really, really great. He does a lot of amazing work with Justice League. He did one of the legs of March to Justice with us. He's just a really, really great person and just great. Anyways, so... After he goes over to see about this fight, the police officer grabbed him from... He said... The police officer says that Mike grabbed him or grabbed his shoulders.
Okay.
And that perceiving a threat, they moved Mr. Blake back about 5 feet, putting him against the fence. Really? Mike says that he rushed towards a confrontation and an uniformed officer bear hugged him, lifted him off the ground, and slammed him against a gate outside the housing complex.
Sounds like the cops saw a black man moving towards a kerfuffle and they just fucking tackled him.
Yep. Get all the black people away.
Tackle the black guy. Mm-hmm. Didn't we see that in McKinney? We've seen that before.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it so many places. Like, it happens all the time. Doesn't matter who it is. While the officer did offer an apology, in fact, Mr. Blake says he didn't even have time to identify himself as an elected official before he was grabbed, but he did confirm that more senior officers intervened and immediately was like, dude, it's an assemblyman. Like, you better stop. And after the officer released him, he was urged to apologize by his superiors. Mike Blake says that it fell short of an acknowledgement of fault. He claimed that the officer claimed to be, quote, in protective mode over his partner and added that if the situation presented itself again, he would do the same thing again. In his apology to the person he just assaulted.
I just punched you in the face.
The
but
fucking gall.
I'd do it again. That's the, you know what that is, though? That's the, like, and I'm not, this is not defending this cop. Not at all. The way they have set things up, this sort of like, you know, this operate with impunity. The cops can do no fucking wrong. They can do no fucking wrong. The FOP, everybody. And because there's liability and other things, they can't admit fault. They have this sort of like, I feel like they almost have to convince themselves of that reality in order to go home and sleep at night. Right? Because otherwise, what the cognitive dissonance of, wow, I was thinking I was doing my job, but I just fucking tackled a black dude for no reason. What am I doing? My job's kind of weird. Or I thought I was doing my job and I shot a 12-year-old boy. My job's kind of terrible. What is that? That you couldn't do that. That cognitive dissonance would eat you alive. So what you do is you fucking convince yourself that this was righteous and justified and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
To the point that you're apologizing to the guy and saying, I would do it again.
Yeah, and it's just such a false, like, the entire, like, atmosphere of, like, oh, well, they had this hard, it's a dangerous job to do. We all have jobs to do. All of our jobs are difficult to do. Here's a quick list of the top 10 most dangerous jobs in America. Number one, logging workers.
Yeah.
Number two, fishers and fishing-related workers. Number three, aircraft pilots and flight engineers. Number four, roofers. Number five, refuse and recyclable material collectors. That's garbage men. Number six, farmers, ranchers, and other agricultural managers. Number seven, structural iron and steel workers. Yeah,
truck drivers up here. Come on, keep going.
Eight, drivers / sale workers and truck drivers.
Thank
Number
you.
Nine, electrical power line installers and repairers. Number
going.
10, taxi drivers and chauffeurs.
Keep going.
That's the top 10. Police don't show up until 15. This list is ranked by the number of fatalities out of 100,000 workers.
This is OSHA. This is actual data.
So for the logging that came in at number one, that's 110.9 deaths for every 100,000 logging workers. For taxi drivers, which was number 10, 18. For police, that number is 13.5. Right next to them at 13.1 are groundskeepers. Now, I want to know, do we go out there and say fishermen are allowed to fish illegally because their job is so dangerous?
You know
do
what?
We do that?
Leslie, the other day, one of the groundskeepers was using the leaf blower, and he put it, he loaded it with buckshot and turned it on and killed me.
It's
but,
dangerous.
He's a leaf blower. He's a groundskeeper.
It's dangerous, you guys.
He's a groundskeeper.
It's dangerous.
He's got to maintain the perimeter.
It's fucking ridiculous. I'm over it. This propaganda bullshit. I'm done with it.
Got to prune those hedges.
Please. Can we get something started for logging workers? They have it rough out here. And I'd like to see them get a little more leeway in whatever the fuck they're doing. Because 110, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Just saying.
The propaganda, I'm just so sick of it.
It's so horrible.
And this whole, oh my God, we don't have it on our list. These fucking cops pulling fucking black people over with the
Actually,
fucking ice cream.
I can't even talk about it.
Fucking motherfucking shit,
I can't even talk about
it.
That video of that poor woman.
Sick.
The thing
she
that gets
so
me every time. Of course she's fucking frightened, but the thing that gets me every goddamn time when I've watched it a numerous times now, and the thing that kills me is he asks her, do you know why I pulled over? She says, yes. And then she looks at him and she goes, I mean, yes, sir. That little, you know, 2 second thing, that change in her, it gets me every time I see it. Just
yeah,
fucking.
There's so much about that that bothers me, but like, why are we gonna fucking show propaganda showing them be good? How about they fucking not kill
first
people?
First of all, that's not good.
Yeah.
So let's start with that.
That's not even good.
Here's a panic attack with your ice cream. Fuck you.
And why is that a positive.
It's not good. It's not even good.
This isn't the palate cleanser, but we're going to – I need the Johnners and maybe you to decide for our Olympics theme music.
Okay, yeah, because we're going to have lots of Olympic stuff.
People are liking the sound bite, so I'm going to go – this is what we all know.
People.
This is the normal. This is traditional, stodgy.
Where's Bob Costas?
Right. And we all know that. And actually, NBC did Olympians humming it, but it wasn't that funny.
No.
It was spliced poorly.
Stupid.
If any genre out there, what I'm looking for, to be honest, is a like EDM techno. Like, okay, I'll just say this right now.
I'd like a reggae version.
I have super jealousy. Look up reggae Olympic themes. I have super jealousy of Rod's theme music for Gay News. Black Eyed Tibbs.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
good.
I could just listen to that music.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want some Olympic theme music, and I like sort of that techno EDM, or maybe something reggae, but that was the original. And here's one. I'm just going to label this Olympic Christ.
Nope. I can tell you right now that one ain't playing on here.
Okay.
This is called Olympic theme song Olympian reggae. Dancers. Whoa.
Black niggas roll out. Dancer blocks. Yeah. Mystery lady. Wipe out dancers.
Okay.
Because that's Jamaican, the vibes. That's the Jamaican bobsled team.
That's the bobsled team.
I'm looking for the theme music. Because someone's got some music out there. Hook me up with some theme music. Let's call this 80s synth. The lasers there. I'm leaning towards this one, to be honest. It feels like a Nintendo, like a Nintendo, like Olympics game cartridge.
Mm.
And then this is the last one. It's just labeled Olympics bad.
What's the official song of the Rio Olympics? I have no idea.
I don't know.
You know what it is?
I'm not sure, but so let's get into it. We got some. Olympics news.
Yeah, we do have a couple of Olympics news.
Before we even get to it, like, there's so many things we could have put on here that we didn't.
Yeah.
About, like, sewage. Yeah. You know, don't put your head under the water.
Don't put your head under the water. This one came under my crosser. Actually, I saw it on Twitter and then I found it, of course, my mother's favorite, the Gleaner of the distinguished baby fame. established in 1834. So the Jamaican athletes have arrived at the Rio Olympic Village, and they had some choice words about the unfinished living quarters that they were brought to in the athletes' village. This is a mess, is what they said. It's really terrible. They have a video. Maybe let me see if I can play the video.
It reminds me of Sochi when all the athletes are showing up in the village and like, there's a stray dog in my room.
It's like, what's going on here? Exactly. She says, so they just talk about the entrance to the apartment. Buckets of paint, grout, and other materials were laid out for workmen who were still busy inside the living quarters. There was still plastic covering the floor. Certain furniture were not yet in place. Workmen were constructing the shower area, tidying up electrical wiring, and tiles were yet to be laid in one apartment. I'm telling you, stuff like this, Aguan. Mess. It's just a mess. The athlete... That was my Jamaican accent for everybody. Thank you very much. The athlete narrating the video, speaking on Power Play, team manager Ludlow Watts said about the four rooms were not ready yet. What I think happens is that people are coming in now in droves, and because of the pressure on the system in terms of the plumbing system and water system, that's when the organizers are beginning to see that some of the things that they thought were in order are not in order.
So meaning I can't paint your room because there's shit streaming down the walls.
Watt says the chef de mission of the Jamaica team, Vishu Tolan, has informed him that the organizers have been aware of the shortfall since Monday, but given the extensive work yet to be done in Athletes Village, it's been difficult for workmen to complete all the finishing. This morning, he told the Gleaner that in Rio, that of the 24 rooms, three had water leakage. It's been challenging getting Rio to complete anything on time, he said, but noted that the Jamaicans were not trying to be unkind to the organizers. I think the village is extremely wonderful outside of these issues, which I believe between today and tomorrow can be rectified. and things will go better as we go along. That's because Jamaican people are like that, though. They'll just be like, we'll roll with it. I also, Digicel put out this really awesome Bring the Beat Olympic kind of fever thing for all the Caribbean islands. So it's really short. It's just 57 seconds without a play. It's kind of cool. Usain is featured.
Can you hear that?
That's him.
That's the beat. Beat that's always been with us.
And
Caribbean.
Shelly Ann Fraser's in it too.
It's in all of us. That drives us. Unites us. Louder. And when we ring that beat, the whole world is gonna hear it.
I thought it was a cool ad from Digicel Jamaica. And of course, I'm, you know, super excited just about the Olympics and watching my countrymen run and do all the amazing things they're going to do. You know, it's our, it was interesting. I think we're going to talk now about Comcast.
Yeah. You and I have always been big watchers and, huge. We haven't cut the cord. We're cable subscribers.
For now.
And I remember, in years past, we would go to like, you know, MSNBC, CNBC, and just record fucking like this and
like
that.
This and this and
record
this.
Shit and have to go through and watch. So they have the X1 box, which we have as their newest, you know, download, streaming, this, that. And
before you go into that, can I just talk about how I, like, discovered any of it anyways?
Sure.
So when you go into the on-demand section, there's just, like, a box. It's like Rio. I went to it just to see. I didn't know what was going to be in there. And immediately it was like, you can search and record by country. You can search and record by athlete. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Never even seen anything like this before. Yeah, so that was, I saw it. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
This
so
is crazy.
They used to have like the number of channels that were showing Olympic broadcast coverage would grow, right? There's NBC, MSNBC, CNBC. And even if you went back, like, I think in the 80s, there was a cable package that was like the gold, silver, bronze package. And you got all these hours of shit and you'd have to tape it and watch your VHS. But so this year, like you said, they've literally broken it down to 6,000 hours of coverage on tons and tons of channels. And you can sort and search and record by athlete, by country, mm-hmm. by sport.
Yep.
So you could go, give me every single thing that involves women's volleyball and it'll record everything. Every prelim, every channel, every single game. You won't miss a goddamn thing. It'll record it all in HD for you. But the one by athlete I thought was so cool.
So sweet.
Because we went through, like, I don't want to, no disrespect, watch all the fencing. I don't
know.
But I want to watch the number two fencing champion, a woman, who's going to wear a hijab for the first time in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I think that's impressive.
I want to watch everything she does.
Yeah.
So it's really great. You're able to, like, honestly tell the TV, like, the people you want to watch that are participating, and it just records everything that they're involved with. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be a really cool way to watch stuff,
I also
too.
Think, I'm not sure, I'll see how it ends up doing it, but I wouldn't be surprised if the coverage that the recording that they're going to do is going to be part of the streaming rather than our DVR.
Correct.
It's not going to take up space on our box.
I think that some of the box stuff will be, but here's the thing about our box. Even when it says 100, that it automatically holds in our DVR like the top 100 shows from this week. So that's what it's that reserve part
that they'll be
utilizing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to like affect our like the stuff that they give us to hold, but it also has this other set of memory, and I think that's what they're going to
so
probably
I think,
be using.
You and me, I would say our top thing this year will be Jamaican.
Gymnastics.
I think Jamaican track and field. Usain's at his last Olympics. I want to see everything he does.
Yeah, I definitely do. But the gymnastics, the women's gymnastics is my number one.
Oh,
I haven't seen Simone like in any large. Personally, I haven't watched any of the world championships she's been in, so I'm excited for that. And you know,
I know you don't like swimming, and I think
I like swimming,
but I'm interested to see this Katie Ledecky. They're talking about her like. Literally just
crushing. Yeah, like world record stuff.
She sets like female world records in like some of her training laps and shit.
Should be good.
There's
a
lot of stuff.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in Rio, but I think it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I think
it's going to be interesting.
I don't want to like hypothesize about.
I hope everything goes fine. That's what I hope. I really do. I hope it goes fine for the athletes. I hope it goes fine for the country. I hope it goes fine.
So there were athletes that we're talking about, and I think you've got eight Olympians that we want to talk about.
Yes, we have eight elite Olympic athletes embracing their black girl magic in Rio. And so just to give you guys a taste, and if you have Comcast, you can ask to see just these women. So number one is Maya Moore. She says she's a three-time WNBA All-Star, and she's a 2012 Olympic gold medalist, obviously basketball player. She says, when I think of black girl magic, I think of inner strength, a quiet confidence at times, but someone who's going to stand up for truth and strength in a beautiful way. I love it. Number two is Tori Bowe, who is a 2015 NCAA champion in the long jump. We'll be taping her as well. She says, I embodied black girl magic by being in a training group and having to accept being a woman amongst a male-dominated industry. It's not always easy to stand out in a heavily saturated industry where the faces usually don't resemble yours. Personally, I embody black girl magic by owning my race and gender. No matter where I am or what I'm doing, I wear my color and gender with pride. Every single moment I step out on the track, I feel powerful, capable, and proud to represent black girls. Number three is shot putter, two-time Olympian, Michelle Carter, who is so fucking badass. She says, the most inspiring black girl moment I've seen is is probably to do with Michelle Obama becoming the first lady or Serena Williams over the years. It's inspiring how she's been able to take the criticism.
I find that woman's shape sexy.
Yeah, she's badass. Number four is Shamir Little, who is a 400-meter hurdler. And she says, black girl magic is what makes a black girl shine. It's her confidence that is magical. It can come in all forms, from hair, skin, health, and personality. I think black girls possess a beauty unlike any other. And I love the all-natural movement that's going on within our community because it's bringing out wonderful results that we didn't get while we were younger. Number five, Aji Wilson, who is a 2014 U.S. outdoor champion in track and field. And she says, since we do not always feel represented or valued in the world, black girl magic is a way to encourage black women to recognize their potential, beauty, and immense worth. Number six, Ashley Johnson, gold water polo winner for the 2014 FINO World Cup, and she'll be competing with USA. Of course, she says, black girl magic refers to a black girl or woman's ability to realize her own potential and continuously strive toward being the best version of herself, which provides an example of excellence for the world to see and for other black girls to realize their own potential to achieve greatness. Lord Jesus, is that a quote? Number seven, Alicia Montano, who is outdoor champion and a 2012 Olympian as well. She's a runner. And she says, black girl magic means recognizing my power as a woman. It is knowing my worth and applying it. Number eight, we have Brittany Reese, finally. She's a six-time world champion, Olympic gold medalist, also a runner. She says, as an Olympic gold medalist, I've traveled all over the world to represent USA and take deep pride in that. But as a black woman, nothing brings me more joy to my heart than mentoring young black girls. When I get booked to speak of empowerment to groups of black women and girls, I want them to know the power they have inside each and every one of them to be great. So look for all of them and many more. That's just eight that we're talking specifically about their own black girl magic. I'm excited for the.
And I don't know if she counts herself as black girl magic, but I love the Vashti Cunningham story.
Yeah.
Randall Cunningham. And I think his wife was a high jumper. And just he's got a ministry and just sort of what they're doing with their family and kids. And she did.
Cool people. I had hoped I really was pushing for him to win office in Pennsylvania. It would have been really cool.
Would have been. And so the thing that she did, which I think, again, is sort of, I want to make sure I get the story. I should have to look more. But I think she foregoed college because there's some sort of like, you know, training and Olympics and, you know, whether you're an amateur or not, like she did something that was a little bit different, but I like their story and like the Cunninghams.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
So we talked about Sean Hannity and his Wawa and whether I thought that was a very accurate and true story. But so now there's a little bit other follow up. I don't know if this is the same instance, but some more details. So it says that Hannity, Bernie Sanders delegate named Jonathan Paul Fox of East Lancaster Township stepped onto the Broad and Walnut Streets Wawa after late dinner at McGilling's old house, blah, blah, blah. He saw Hannity, walked over, and he said, hey, my name's Fox. I'd like my good name back from your channel. And so I guess Hannity turned around and said, get your hands off me or something like that. Right. And said, I'll pulverize you. Okay. And so in typical I would say Philly fashion.
I have a Philly video later, so it'll be funny.
The individual whose name is Fox yelled out, see ya, Lumpy. And Lumpy Lumpy was the not-so-kind moniker that Jon Stewart had put onto Hannity when he came back for HBO, or not HBO, for, you know, came out of retirement for that one little political satire.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you meant, did you want to say something else about that?
No, just that Hannity wasn't amused. He said, I'm going to meet you outside.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Hannity said he wasn't amused. I'll meet you outside. Supposedly, like, put his fists up. And I guess literally a police officer walked by, and Hannity's like, this guy's harassing me. And he laughed at him and just kept walking.
Of course he did, because he's a fucking idiot. So speaking of The Daily Show, I'm going to skip around a little bit because this actually works really well here. The Daily Show was on location at the DNC in Philadelphia, and they did a little segment the last day called Exploring Philadelphia.
I thought it would be so accurate as fuck.
It's 3.5 minutes. So hopefully people are okay listening to it. But I thought it was really funny. And obviously, since we were just talking about Wawa and Philadelphia, it would be good. So here we go.
It's the last night of our four nights here in Philly. So, you know, when a city hosts a convention, you know that for a brief period, they're going to change all sorts of things. Public transportation will be affected, traffic patterns, and getting turned, as Roy Wood Jr.
getting
reports.
Turned.
Pennsylvania Democrats passed a new law, but not some boring policy. They cooked up a loophole to push last call at 4 a.m. Not for everybody, though, just the DNC delegates. Good times.
I have two beers. That's two beers.
Yeah, twice as much privilege.
Yes.
Double up on the privilege.
All right.
What about the people who can't get in? Have to stop drinking at 2.
Come on.
The Democrats was getting tore up till 4 in the morning, and we were getting stuff done, according to my main man, Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey.
Bob Casey.
He do a lot of networking.
He's so drunk.
Someone just brought me this beer.
He can't even talk.
I'm going to network with that person.
He's hammered.
Let's go.
He's
hammered. You.
Okay.
Not be another senator. I want to be a Republican from Alaska.
Why there?
Because there ain't no black people. Everybody can vote for me.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So show me how networking happens in these parties.
Off, okay.
You start.
Hey, Joe.
Vote for the bill.
Joe, I really love Alaska.
Bro.
And I love you too.
Vote for my bill. I'm from Alaska. Okay, cool. It's good networking with you. Yes, this exemption is critical as
he hell, shook hands
man.
With the one of the black dude.
But I discovered you can't keep the good people of Philly down.
He's a genius.
I always drink past 2, though. I just drink. I don't worry about the laws. You know what I mean?
I understand.
I'm going to be drunk as hell, bro. I'm going to be drinking right over there at garage until that time.
You drink in a garage?
Yeah, in a garage.
You politicians have your loopholes. The people of Philly have theirs, even if it is in a creepy-ass garage.
Thank you so much, Roy. Thank you so much.
It's not over, people. It's not over. The best is yet to come. The Philliest of Philly.
Ronnie Chang, it's his first time in Philly, and he also took to the streets after I asked him to investigate the scene in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you did send me to investigate, Trevor. But it was 99 degrees out, and after 10 minutes...
Going into John's water ice.
Can I get some ice water, please?
We sell water ice.
Ice water.
Water ice.
No, you don't get it. I want ice water.
Well, there's a store for that.
Is the store for
no,
that.
No, we sell water ice.
Yeah, why do you have a sign that says ice water?
Because it's a Philly thing. It's frozen dessert. It's water ice.
Listen, buddy, we can call it a dick in a teacup if you want to.
What? What flavor do you want? Lemon, cherry, chocolate, or pineapple? It's not hard. It's 4 flavors.
Okay, can you give me cherry without the cherry?
I'm not a f***ing scientist. I cannot take the flavor out of the water. You get it how I give it to you?
What the f*** is your problem, man?
Listen, you're way out of your f***ing league here,
bro. Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
You, man. Try it, and you might f***ing like it.
I'll f***ing try, but if I don't f***ing like it, I'm going to come back and kick your f***ing ass.
That's it. Let's go. I'm always ready.
That's actually really good.
Yeah, thank you. Family recipe, 1945.
Can I get like a large cherry?
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks a lot, man.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah, take care.
That was Philly in a nutshell.
So Philly with the water ice. He got the cherry.
You said on the last podcast about the lady giving me the finger, but you didn't even get it right. Like, I literally, she was pulling out of the driveway.
Right.
And
she almost hit you.
Yeah, no, she was in a stick shift, a manual, and was rolling backwards. And like, the options were to, like, I guess let you roll into me.
Or beep the horn.
Or give you the, like, beep, 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 beep. Like a little beep, beep.
Yeah.
She throws it in the park, flings the door open, flips the bird, goes, fuck you, I'm trying to go to work.
She was pissed at you because you didn't allow her to hit you.
I was like, okay. And she was like an octogenarian.
Yeah, so Philly.
There's another time we were in Philly where something happened and I gave somebody like, again, a beep or something. And I pulled up and the dude went like on the other side of the road, like against traffic, like the wrong side, like, you know what I'm talking, like a two-lane road?
Yep.
Went on the other side of the road, pitched in front of me, and starts like cussing me out. I open the door, get out of the car. He goes, oh, and he pulls out of there.
Yeah, he's like, oh, wait, you're 6'4". Yeah, never mind.
That was my 300-pound days, too. I'm he was like, oh, you want to stop?
Forget about it.
I'll show you Philly, motherfucker.
Anthony, anyways.
I forget where we are in this show now.
Yeah, this banana this weekend hashtag. So the first thing is actually isn't a hashtag, but the fucking Arthur memes, which have been hilarious.
I honestly go find them. We won't even fucking talk about all of them.
No,
I
put a few up.
You did, but the one that to my heart, it literally made me drop the phone laughing. I saw a few. I'm like, this is funny. Then I saw this one, and I just was like, that's it. You win the internet. Go ahead and tell them.
It was. But you shouldn't have called me a fat ass Kelly Price.
Oh my fucking God, dude.
Now, for those who don't know, that's a reference to season one of Catfish, in which a young man was catfished by his own cousin for a year due to the fact that at a party in front of other people, he referred to her as a fat ass Kelly Price.
Can I just start by that?
She was pissed.
Because that's so cruel. I mean,
she was pissed. You kind of didn't even know who Kelly Price was. I showed you to her. So
no,
you
I knew Kelly Price before that because
you were like, oh,
no,
that's really mean.
We knew because we were watching the fucking, what show was she on? The thing with the other girls singing and shit.
Divas thing. Yeah.
But what I said was, I said, oh, but I don't think she was that fat assed. And then I forgot that she was like pretty like, not as big on the top and like really.
Right. She's like, you know, yeah. Ample on the
on
bottom.
Yes. I had forgotten. Mm-hmm. And you showed me that. I was like, yeah. Oh, that is kind of mean.
Yeah. But the cousin was so pissed. You shouldn't have called me a fat ass Kelly Price.
But like to catfish somebody for a whole ass fucking year.
A year.
But that fucking Arnold meme and the face. You so should have called me a fat ass Kelly
but you
Price.
Shouldn't have called, it was Buster saying it. So. But you shouldn't have called. Then you shouldn't have called me a fat ass Kelly Price. We have these problems.
The too second, funny.
The second was obviously not nearly as light, which is Corinne Gaines, a 23-year-old mother of two who was shot and killed by Baltimore police in her home this week, holding her son. Her son was also shot. He has survived and is in the hospital, but we send our condolences to her family and to the community that she comes from and obviously to her children. We'll put a link to GoFundMe that I've confirmed it has been set up for her children. And obviously there's lots to do with that. I don't actually want to talk about it too much, but I'll just say abolish the police. The last one I want to mention is another.
Can I say something? And I want to say, Leslie, maybe you can just like take your earphones off for white people. Mm. The consumption of black pain has gotten really just like over the top and the sharing and like, oh, this and that. And now there's even, you know, there's complicated. We've had other deaths where, you know, this whole perfect victim, this or that. Just as a rule, as a rule for a white person, you know, if there's dialogue between black folk about this, that's not your dialogue. Just stay out of any intra-community dialogue in which you're not a member. So with Corinne, you hear people talking about, you know, this, you know, should have that. Just fucking don't even say a goddamn fucking word. Just stay out of it. You don't need to have any input. That's not our input. And, you know, if you believe Black Lives Matter, that's a complete statement. There is no qualitative. Regardless, Corinne's life matters. You don't get to have any opinion about any of the things that may or may not have happened or surmised. And more so, I don't think you should allow white people to either. This whole like, oh, she this, oh, she that. No, stop, period. Her life mattered. That's it. Sorry.
Thank you. No, it's fine. And the last is something that Rod and I think Sterling came up with last week. If you hadn't heard, the assholes at TNT have decided to give Charles Barkley a show about race in America called The Race Card, which is sure to be a shit show from someone who drunkenly told a police officer that he was just going to get a blowjob around the corner when pulled over and has gone on record to saying that he doesn't comment about slavery because he knows nothing about it. Okay.
I think it's worse. Didn't he have like last year?
Oh, he's had plenty. I was just giving two examples of his stupidity.
He's of the more horrible, like shit I say about respectability blackness, the better I think he thinks he gets with white whatever.
I don't even call it respectability because he's not respectable. So this is where I have a problem with. He isn't even respectability is somebody who has attained a certain moral stance that they can be on high from. And Charles Barkley had zero.
Yeah, he's not pound cake, but he's like fucking pick yourself up by your bootstraps.
I don't even think he's smart enough to be any of those things. So I'm just going to say, that's why I mentioned those two things specifically, because he's a fucking idiot. He's dumb. And that's the real problem here.
So what's the hashtag?
Hashtag is rejected Barkley shows. Very funny. You check them out for sure, because I was just cracking up on Twitter about them. And again, you know, obviously podcasters were particularly, because Rod and Sterling were the ones that came up with it, were particularly into it. I'll pull up a couple of them. I can't remember all the ones I did. Oh, one of the, Are You Afraid of the Darkies was one that I put up.
What was the one about the blowjob?
Oh,
yeah. Rejected Barkley show.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake is more woke than Jesse Williams. Where the white women at?
Stop it.
Popeyes isn't that good. Mm-hmm. White power forward. The Coondocks.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm. The Uncle Ruckus show. The White Time with Charles Barkley. The Man from Uncle Tom. I actually like that one the most. The Safe Negro show. That's from Leonard Brothers. Shout out to him. Worst Take. I love that one. Orange is the new black on black crime. Mm-hmm. Black people. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Bamboozled the series. Mm-hmm. 3/5 point line. I was telling my white friends.
3/5 point. Who said the 3/5 point line?
Who you think?
Line?
Rod, of course. Star Trek, the next respectability. Mm-hmm. Agents of Tom, T-O-M. Mm-hmm. Anyways, those are all really funny. But definitely check them out. There was a bunch of them that were hilarious.
I just don't know how, again, that got greenlit.
Put down the chicken and pick up a basketball. But white folks love me.
But
go backcourt to Africa.
Stop it.
Drop, step, and fetch it. Anyways, they're all very funny. So definitely check them out and see...
That's just just terrible. You know, I think I didn't set my music up because where's my Trump stuff? My new Trump.
Do we have Trump stuff?
I thought we had. Is that where we're at? New GOP Chronicle.
Oh, here was all of mine. You ready? Here we go. Mad Dog 2020. The Truth About Blowjobs. Nobody Wants Charles in Charge. Jim Crow and Dr. King. Growing Lame. The Nay Team. Different Smoke.
Nay-team.
Uh-huh. The Bald Prince of Hot Air. The Blunder Years. Those were all of my my contributions to it. But definitely check it out. It's very funny. Rejected Barkley shows. And now we will move on to He Who Will Not Be Named. And actually, let's skip this because I took a pledge to not mention this man for 7 days with Lovey Ajay. So we'll put this on next
week. Is it in right now, the pledge?
Yes, it's going on right now. No tweeting about him, no Facebooking, no nothing about him. Okay. We are taking him out of circulation for 7 days. So let's get to the receipts then.
Okay. Oh, see, I don't have that cute. I have to clear one and then get the other. See, I have a checking and a savings
and the way they work.
And the way they work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Here it is, though.
We got receipts. We got receipts. Yay! Oh, yeah. We got receipts.
So there was a shirt. Uh-huh. Walmart pulled from its stores.
Pulled from its stores.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely pulled from stores. That was a little cartoon thing, and it said, someday there will be a woman president, right?
When was this?
Let's see here. 21 years ago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So it's
why did they pull it off the shelves? I'm so sorry. This is so crazy to me. Why was it pulled off the shelves?
It just is crazy. But it said, a Walmart store pulled a popular T-shirt proclaiming that someday a woman will be president off itself, saying it was offensive to some shoppers.
What? Yeah.
So the Sharon Higgins Botham, a buyer for women's clothes at Walmart National Office in Bentonville, Arkansas, told her the store would not carry the shirt nationwide because the message goes against Walmart's family values.
Family values?
Yo, that was 1995. 1995, yo.
Yo, Walmart ain't been shit since forever.
1990, like, motherfucking five.
The idea of at some point in any future, it could be 150 fucking years from then, there could potentially be a female president is against family values. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's nutty, dude.
Anyways.
It's not. You know what's even weird? I don't say weirder, but so, like, the story, there is an AP story, and they do ultimately have, like, a link to the article and where it was. But it was a Twitterer. It was someone on Twitter. Like, some just individual with, like, you know, barely 1,200 followers found the press release, found the, you know, went, like, to the microfiche or whatever, found the archives, clipped the little piece, and put it almost as if he was waiting. Like, this person had this shit, like, ready to go, like, oh, nomination, Hillary, here you go, bloop.
Incredible.
Got retweeted like 18,000 times, and now there's a story about it. But it's
incredible.
Just, they pulled it. And their logic was, it goes against our family values.
Mm.
That's just, that's too much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is another thing. I don't have, we haven't done this in so long. I'm almost, I hate pressing this button.
Mm-hmm. What you gonna do? One day we're going to talk about the show Cops and its contribution to our copaganda life. Anyways, and the havoc it has wreaked on people's lives as well. But anyways, what I really want to talk about on this week's Yes, All Cops, and I like to mention that we usually have like 12 stories we could put in this category every fucking week. It's disgusting.
Any number, dude.
But this one is about the cousin of a slain Baton Rouge cop who was wrongly arrested the night of the massacre that happened there. So this is in Addis, Louisiana. On Sunday, July 17th, DeMarcus Alexander stopped at Walmart so his best friend could buy a white shirt for church. They left to Dallas, Texas at 4 a.m., bound for Belrose, Louisiana, a small town an hour south of Baton Rouge, so his friend could sing at church. They entered the Walmart outside of Baton Rouge, changed into their church clothes, and continued driving. They didn't know it, but someone had just called 911, describing two black men entering the store and changing clothes just after Gavin Long shot six law enforcement officers across the river. One of the three dead was Alexander's cousin, Officer Montrell Jackson. He was my big cousin, Alexander said, adding that their families had vacationed together many times. He saved me from drowning once. When he and his best friend were changing at the Walmart, Alexander hadn't heard what happened to his cousin yet, but a few miles down the road, police stopped their car, and it wasn't for condolences. Hey, were you just changing in the... You were just changing the Walmart, right? You know what just happened in Baton Rouge? We already got the guy who did it, but we think he probably didn't work alone, so we're looking into you two. Police said their car fit the description of Long's car at the scene, which it did not. Soon after they were pulled over, more than a dozen vehicles with officers from every nearby police department had pulled up, all of them white. Fortunately, Alexander had proved that they hadn't been involved in the shooting because they had stopped at a gas station 100 miles away from Baton Rouge to buy coffee and snacks at 8:43 a.m., according to the receipt, still in the fucking bag.
Still the fucking in the is mine. Fucking bag.
That was 3 minutes after Long had started shooting.
Christ.
But that wasn't enough for these officers, who still viewed them as suspects. They were handcuffed, locked in the back of a police car without being read their rights. When they were detained, they asked for a phone call, and he said, we were not given any phone calls. Of course, the police did not respond to the Daily Beast for comment on the story, but instead the police confiscated their phones by intimidating them. They made us sign consent forms, he said. When Alexander asked questions about this, the police began cursing at him. If he wants to be a dick about it, just put his ass back in the car. He'll be here for another 4 hours to wait for a court order to search his phone. They also forced Alexander's friend to pee in a bottle in the back of the police car. Alexander still didn't know that it was his family, one of his family members, that had been killed. But his aunt and uncle and cousins were worried about him at this point because
they
didn't know where he was.
And he's being held fucking illegally in the back of a police car where nobody fucking knows he is.
Nope. And of course, he's getting nervous too. He doesn't know if any of his family members that were police were shot and killed, and he was ignored. He only found out it was his cousin who had been murdered after the police released them at, and listen to this when I tell you again, this was at 4 o'clock in the morning, or right after the shooting happened, at 7 p.m. that night.
So they were held for how many hours is that? Is that
12 hours or
it's
something.
More.
Like
it's more.
Yeah.
It's 16 hours.
It's crazy. Alexander's friend were taken to a holding cell. Again, they had on their person evidence that showed that they were not involved in this whatsoever. And again, his cousin was one of the victims. Were taken to a holding cell at Louisiana State Police Station in Baton Rouge. By that time, Alexander, a diabetic, said he needed to take his diabetes medicine. Get away from the door, little bitch, was what one of the jailers yelled at him when he tried to knock on the cell door. Rather than give him medicine, they called EMS, who confirmed that his blood sugar was high and he needed medicine soon. Instead, for hours, they brought him cookies and peanuts and crackers and juice, the opposite of what he needed. Officers were worried that he was lying about the medicine to commit suicide. What if you die in the back of my car? Citing another time when he had an arrestee who tried to take a bottle of pills.
But what the fuck?
After several hours, he became semi-comatose and was taken to Baton Rouge General Hospital. By this time, police had finally obtained footage from the Alexandria convenience store and realized Alexander hadn't been involved with the shooting. They released Alexander's friend from jail to go pick him up from the hospital. I felt helpless, he said, when pleading for his medicine in the jail. I'm really thankful that I wasn't another hashtag. Yes.
Fuck me, dude. And you don't really, like, honestly, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Some of our fucking cop friends were shot by a black person. Yep. Let's go round up all black people.
All the black people.
Like, yep. It literally was like any black person in a fucking X square mile, let's just round them up. What the fuck? These cops really are on some fucking just absolutely crazy shit, dude. I mean, really fucking crazy shit, dude.
Yep, totally not so. And so that's our Yes All Cops for this week. Yeah. I thought it was really terrible.
You know what? I forgot.
This is you, though.
Yeah, I didn't see this piece, I haven't read it or anything.
No, it's the woman that you asked me to put on the show that we listened to, her mom doing the singing. It's
oh,
just the
shit.
Video.
All right.
You wanted it, so I'm putting it here for you.
Okay, here we go. So I don't even know if it needs anything.
Just explain like how it came. I saw it on Twitter first. I saw a clip of it on Twitter.
You saw a clip on Twitter.
I saw a clip on Twitter, and I said, wait a minute. There's more to this because it was clear. It was more than what was on.
Correct.
Because Twitter can only do a certain amount. So then I found the person's feed on Facebook, and it had the whole video. And she explains everything. So
yeah, she does. It's already
it's probably the greatest video I've seen on Facebook in
Half a million views.
It's amazing.
8,000 shares.
Amazing.
And you're going to listen to it, but you can't see Regina's face and you can't see her. So what's she doing? She's really, I don't know if she's a filmographer, but she's holding the phone like, and this is a new skill. This is a, in fact, I'm going to say black folk have this skill better than anything I've ever seen. Right. Cause there was a video where a black dude was holding the phone, doing a selfie, and he's going, man, this lady keeps following me around the store. And then he would turn the phone just right. And there she is. There she is. Like there's an ability to have you on the full view and then you in the corner side eyeing.
That's what I did with Michael Rappaport.
You did that with Michael Rappaport. So I've never seen white people have this skill. It's always black folk that have this like a quasi like selfie side eye like what the fuck skill. But so Regina's like panning from like her face to her mom to this insurance salesman that's at her house. But let's just let Regina play.
Hi everybody, it's Regina Skeeters. I hope that all is well today. My mother ministers in and out of season. Today we have the insurance man coming to make sure the insurance is taken care of and, you know, we get the proper, we're just, you know, good. You know, there's all different types of insurance. There's car insurance, health insurance. Anyway, that's besides the point. My mother wants to minister to the insurance.
She's already starting. She's getting impatient.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This morning, one be very long.
This is an insurance meeting.
You gonna she look wants to say.
We're trying to take care of business. We're trying to get insurance. She wants to say that the insurance
place, yeah. Where there's nothing to do. Yeah. So I'll walk around.
Somebody put sanctified cough on the...
I walk around heaven.
Hey, Deshaun.
Oh, day. You see my teeth in the teeth?
Oh, no. Listen.
Get to heaven.
All right.
Shut up.
Might be good.
Shut up. She said shut up.
No. But it will be both.
Hey, Flo.
She coughed in the middle.
All right. They're going to be shot out of here.
Put me out. Yeah.
It's not even close to done.
No, she's not done.
My mother will be waiting.
For those of you that have just joined, the insurance man is here.
And so my take father your visit. Will
my mother wants to minister to
them.
And to the insurance
so
man.
So we'll just join
but I guess
together
everybody,
and walk around.
We can't even finish our business
we
because
wanna walk around here.
We're supposed to be discussing insurance.
Her face.
All day.
Gina's face is priceless.
I'm gonna walk around. Walk around.
Come on.
I'm gonna walk
clap.
Around. Walk around.
She's stomping. It's
I'm
foot and hand.
Walk around. Say something, boy.
Hey.
This is the insurance man. Again.
I'm going to meet KG. I'm gonna tell him all about my troubles when I get there. Come on, go with me today. Tomorrow. Ooh, next year, next 24 years.
All right, all
right. Walk around heaven. Walk around. Walk around.
Pray that we get this insurance because the insurance man may just run. Look at him walking around heaven. He may run.
Goodbye, heads.
Okay. Tell everybody goodbye, Mom.
Good night, y'all. Later, Gators.
Okay.
Later, Gators.
Please clap.
Please clap.
That was unbelievable. God. My mother likes to minister in and out of season.
In and out. Way out of season. Way out of season.
The insurance man's here to sell some insurance. The thing that got me with that is that she kept going. Like, you know, like there's a joke that's like, okay, that was funny. And then like, all right, it keeps going. Like, ah, that's really kind of funny. And then it goes a little bit too far. You're like, all right, that's not that funny. And then it keeps going. You're like, okay, that's almost irritating. And then you're like, wait a minute. It's getting funny again. And you're like, wait a minute. You keep it going. That's funny as shit. That was funny as shit.
Mm-hmm. I saw this op-ed, and it's actually from last year, but I thought it was really interesting. We've been talking a lot about like the anti-blackness here in Michigan and, you know, the idea of progress here being as far away from black people as possible. And I ran across this op-ed piece about Belle Isle in the Detroit area, which people don't know. It's like this island. You can go to it. It has like all this recreational space. It's like a big park. And that's where all the like albino deer are too, right? Isn't that true?
That is correct.
Yes. Anyways, that's his like claim to fame. Lately, in efforts to take back the park, make it better, quote unquote, it's been pretty obvious who's not wanted on the aisle any longer.
Oh.
And it's been very interesting to see you know, these improvements, right? So they talk about you know, working restrooms are a great thing and all of this other stuff. And so the upgrades to the plant and the facility itself are not the issues, but it's a lot of the other stuff. So it's usually been It's been referred to as the Commons because it was one of these places that all people of the area were able to mingle with each other, and it was meant to be enjoyed by everybody, regardless of your station or race or class or economic level. Like, you don't have to pay to go there or anything like that. That's kind of the point of the space itself, of how it was always initially and meant to be used. So this is from Reverend Bill Wiley Kellerman, and he says, quote, "When the state took over the island last summer, one of the first things to happen was the dispatching of the integrated Detroit police force. They were replaced by state police, who are almost uniformly white, and DNR authorities likewise. Moreover, they immediately began doing stops of vehicles for any sort of minor violation and checking the ID, not just of the driver, but all occupants of the car. News stories tallied the arrests for child support, outstanding warrants, and the like. Never mind undocumented folks hearing loud and clear, don't take your chances just to enjoy wind and water. Last fall, a group of African-American elders who for three decades have jogged the island together and now walk it told Kim Redigan they were done. Not just age, they no longer feel welcome in their own place." He continues, "The latest corporate and conservancy video boosting island redevelopment begins with a mock scrapbook remembering the good old days. Earnest corporate and nonprofit folks, all white, share their memories with grainy black and white images to confirm and assist. But then comes the full color future with Formula One racers speeding away and young people exhilarated on their waterboards. Bottom line, the corporations who do business in Detroit have a social responsibility," it said, "to make Belle Isle become what it once was." In Detroit? That's a loaded and coded phrase. Listen for it. To what precisely is the city or the park coming back? Or its park coming, quote unquote, back? How many decades do we have to go back to get there? The answer to that is actually pretty precise. So I just wanted to put that out there. I think it's really interesting. We talk about progress. We talk about gentrification. We talk about what is seen as good for communities and how that happens, and how, because we live in such a supremacist society, reform measures, improvement measures become inherently racist because they never take the racist and anti-blackness out of the systems from which they come. And this is another example of that. So,
yeah. They're gentrifying the whole fucking island, dude.
Mm-hmm.
The whole fucking island.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
Crazy. So you wanted to do your jobs?
I mean, we could. You want to pick another
one? Yeah, sure. Let's do one.
I don't know. Let me get my...
Is there music for that?
I don't think I have music
okay.
for that.
Okay. But... get your numbers up, and I already picked one.
No, wait. I do have music. Hold on.
What was your...
Let me get my list out.
Oh, yeah. This is not the song I wanted, but you wanted this one.
Yeah, it's my theme music. It's my jobs. All right, so you picked number one last time.
Right, so what are my options? Two through...
You now have 2 through 29.
All right, let's do number 12.
Number 12 was... can I say the name? I can say the name, right? Cafe Luciano's?
Yeah, you can say the name.
Docs and shit.
I mean, unless you're going to talk about illegal activities you did there.
No.
Keep it kosher and you're good to say the name.
So Cafe Luciano's is an Italian restaurant on Rush Street in downtown Chicago. And this was right after I lost... so I got a job in the tech sector... and then the dot bubble burst like March of 99, right? And I had to they laid off the whole office and everybody. So I had to get a job, and I went back to restaurants and waiting tables. And I had previously worked in restaurants, and I thought, you know what? This Luciano's is like walking distance from the house, mm-hmm. and it's a good place, and I kind of had an in there.
And we were moving. That was the thing. We were moving at the end of the summer.
Oh, that's the real
truth. That's what it really was.
I didn't want to harm anyone that was going to get me a job as like a friend. I had to just get a job like off the street kind of thing because we're going to fuck them. I knew I was going to walk away. Like, I wasn't going to be employed for more than like 4 months. That was a given, right?
Right.
So I go to Luciano's, I get the job, and it ended up being a really good job. I ain't going to lie. Like, it was a...
Yeah, it was a good job.
I worked hard. I made great money. They had a... Because it was on Rush Street, they had the seating along the front of the...
Like outside.
No, it was weird. They had these windows that came out, like huge panel windows.
Oh, yeah.
So the chairs were like... There was outdoor seating, and then there was a level up where there was like open window, like, and you were basically outside. So what I would do is I'd work a double on Tuesday, and the double would be open lunch and then maybe like early out for dinner. So I'd get there at 10 in the morning, set everything up, and it'd be beautiful. It'd be summer, right? So I'm like, would you like to sit by the window? And so the way that the stations worked is that every station went vertically. So you had one table at the window, and then you had a table in the middle, and then a table at like the back, right? So it was even. Like, you wouldn't have somebody's, like, if your whole station was all window seats, like, that's not really fair. Like, you know what I'm talking about, Leslie? Like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So what I would do is I'd open up and I'd have my station be like,
yeah, you were an asshole. You sat everybody else's seats.
Correct.
So then when they got there, you had their tables plus your own, and then you'd make like way more money.
Correct. I was an asshole. I was I would say steal. I was like, hey, I opened. Right. And if you walk in and I happen to say, oh, it's a beautiful day, would you like to sit by the window? Is that my fault?
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, lo and behold, you're sitting in, you know, you come in and your station's best table by the window is taken by me. Sorry. You know, that happens. So that was my lunch, and I do really well. And then at dinner time, there was a colleague of mine, Renata, who was from, I think, was she from the Ukraine? Maybe it's one of the former Soviet.
I thought she was from the Ukraine.
But wherever she was from at the time, she told us she was from.
Right.
It was like part of the Soviet Union.
Right.
It's now another.
It's another country.
It's another thing. Yeah.
It's like Fyrom or something. Yeah. But not Fyrom. Whatever. It is.
So she was.
Renata.
Oh, fuck, was she a trip. She would
first
crack
of all,
me
I don't know.
Up, dude.
Did she have big boobs? I couldn't remember.
No.
I don't know how she got hired. Like, she could barely speak English.
She was gorgeous.
Was she?
Yeah, she was blonde and attractive.
I mean, she
European.
Was blonde. I didn't think she was attractive.
She had the worst command of English for
she
someone who's
a
waiter.
She had a terrible command of English for somebody to be and she couldn't wait tables on top of all
she was
the
bad.
Other things.
She was bad.
My thing was this, like, okay, maybe her English was so good, but if she was really like a hustler and she could like get, she wasn't any of those things. She was horrible.
Yeah, so she would, and her and I were friends.
Yeah.
And we bonded over getting high. We'd smoke weed and shit. And she had a couple of phrases that killed me, but she kept saying, this is blowing. She goes, was that what she was? This is blowing.
She's like, yeah, instead of this blow, she goes, oh,
this is
through.
Blowing.
This is blowing.
I go, no, Renata, this blows.
This blows.
This blows.
This is blowing. Is
this
what she
is
would
blowing.
Say. But it was, she'd have all these, like my mom, she'd have these like funny little idiosyncrasies.
So
one time she was at our house, though, this is my favorite Renata story, and you guys were getting stoned or something. We were all like hanging out.
Drinking martinis, whatever.
We were hanging out, and you were talking, and you were like going on, telling some long story, and she looked up and she goes, please, Drew, no more English.
It's like, I don't know what you want me to speak. If
to this
English.
Day, when I want you to shut up, I say that. I'm
please,
like, Drew,
no more English.
No more English.
So Renata would fucking, like, literally wasn't a good waitress, right? So she'd have like
she was always afraid she was going to get fired.
That was really what it was.
She was like,
so
I'm going to get
like,
fired.
Please, I'm going to get
take
fired.
Take my table.
So I'm like, okay, I'll take a table for you. And so I'd be running, you know, my like bunch of tables from lunch. I'd be running Renata's shit. And I remember one time Frank was like, how many tables do you have? I'm like, it's okay. Don't worry about it. But that was a Tuesday double that was probably like $400. I made a lot of money those days. For one shift. Oh, but that was also the fucking place where that manager threw that plate of pasta.
Right, he threw a whole plate of pasta right at you.
It was my fault, but like, you don't have to throw pasta at people. So a regular came in and like, I guess he ordered something somehow all the time. And I misheard and I thought that he didn't want it the way he always wanted it. And the guy's like, are you sure? That's how he never orders that. I'm like, that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it comes out. And I'm like, nope, he didn't want it. He wanted it this way. And just fucking, like, flew the fucking entire plate of pasta. It hits the wall. It, like, explodes. There's Alfredo and, like, glass and shit all over the place. And I honestly, like, laughed. I just was like, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what are you supposed to do to that when someone like, fuck you, Vardy, throws a fucking thing of like Alfredo at the wall and it explodes.
Yeah. It was a little volatile.
He just used to yell.
Some chefs are like that. I mean, I don't like working for them, but you know, whatever.
He didn't last. He left before
for good reason.
Before I did.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. The guy that when I ultimately left, because I knew, so in the state of Illinois, you don't have to give anybody any notice. It's a, you know, employee at will. I have no qualms about just walking out on a shift and being like, fuck you, I'm out, right? But that's not me. I normally give 2 weeks. I'm a pretty, you know, I try to be a reasonable employee, but I couldn't give 2 weeks because I wouldn't get the shift, right? Like, if I put in my 2 weeks notice, they're not going to be like, sure, come work a double on Friday and make $400. Like, that's not how it's going to go. Like, we were counting on money those last couple of days to, like, move us to where we were going, like, our down payment, like, you know, those, like, expectations of the income that telling them I'm quitting in 2 weeks wouldn't happen. In fact, every restaurant job I've ever worked at, every waiter in particular that puts in their 2 weeks, the answer is thank you, goodbye. Mm. You don't get the 2 weeks because they're going to steal. You just know it. Who, unless you've got a really good rapport on an employee, you almost, like, let me ask you this. How many waiters, what percentage of waiters, when they tell you they're giving you 2 weeks, do you just say thank you and this is your last shift?
Mm.
More than half, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, more than half.
More than half.
So I couldn't do that. So I had to, like, wait until the last second. And I felt bad. They had a bunch of stuff on the schedule. I'm like, no, I can't work. I'm, you know, I'm this and that. And Frank was like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. But I had to take care of my family. We needed the money. But so that was the restaurant on Rush Street. It was a good job for while I was there, and I appreciate it. And I still think their rigatoni is fucking fantastic.
They had that really good dish I like there, too. I can't remember what it was.
Wasn't that rigatoni?
No, I had something else I used to get.
Osabuco. Oh, fuck. Yeah, Osabuco was fantastic. Was really
good. Mm-hmm. I'll put their link on the show if anybody's
going. It's still there. It's still a really good restaurant.
You guys can go check it out. It's good food.
Thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, the fucking... So I used to get high in the employee locker room downstairs, but I was all stealth with it. I had, like, my own fucking, like... toilet paper blow through with fucking, like, cologne and, like, toilet paper and shit, and, like, my own mouthwash and stuff, and I'd, like, blow it into the fucking, like, cooler and stuff. But another dude knew I was getting high and I guess, like, tried to replicate getting high. And I think, like, 2 days after I quit, got caught smoking weed, and his answer and excuse was, well, so was Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I quit. Like, I'm not even at this job anymore and you're trying to throw me under the bus. Don't, no, sir. No, thank you. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You joke.
You jerk off. So I started watching this show, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, on Netflix. It's on the CW, I believe. And
okay.
It's about this girl who is a big-time lawyer, and she has sort of a little breakdown, and she runs into her, like, high school summer camp love on the street, and he says, now I'm moving back home to West Covina, California. And she... quits her job and moves to West Covina, California as well. Not for him, according to her, but whatever. And then her shenanigans ensue. Now, the interesting part of it is the woman who stars in it is a Broadway actress, a singer. And so the show just breaks into musical, like, song in the middle of the show multiple times. Like, very elaborate, like, full-on dance numbers, all in different styles. They've done, like, Bollywood, they've done rap, they've done blues, they've done, like, sexy music video type stuff, all sorts of things. And I don't know if I like it or not yet. I'm about, I think, 4 episodes in, but I'd be interested to hear if anybody else has watched it. Do they like it? Do they not? I know that she, the woman's name is Rachel Bloom. I think she either won or was nominated for either an Emmy or a Golden Globe or something. It had, you know, it had some buzz or whatever around it. And I still can't get used to the singing. The funny part of it is that the singing is very traditional in its, like... you know, the composition. So, like, the melody and the timing and the pitch and all that kind of stuff. But then the words are ridiculous, like, absurd. Like, this one, she was having a one-night stand and she was like, I hope you're not a murderer. That was the, like, the chorus of it. And then the first part of the second verse was like, I'm so sorry I said that stuff about you being a murderer. That was really creepy. But in the song, like, that's the lyrics to the song. They had one guy who was singing about his daughter and it got super creepy. He was like, I like to smell her hair and I'm the best tickler, but I know where to tickle her. That sounded really creepy. It didn't come out the way I wanted to. But again, in the lyrics of the song, like, that's how the song is put together. So it's kind of interesting. So I'll continue watching until I decide if I like it or not. It's still up in the air. And then I did watch the most recent season of Orange is the New Black, and I won't be watching. I'm mad I watched this season because I haven't liked any of them, but I've just been, like, having it on when I don't have anything else to watch, or it's late night and I'm just in bed and I have my tablet with me or whatever. And honestly, that show is horrible. Everything about it is horrible. It's a piece of shit. That's all I'll say about that.
So I've been watching with you the great BBC Bake Off.
Oh, dude, the British Bake Off is the best show on TV. So PBS, it's so good. I love British people. So their British accents are great. And it's baking, which is like my shit. So yeah, it's very exciting.
And Ray Donovan's back on.
Ray Donovan.
I don't know if I'm into this season as much. It's good.
It's not as good. I feel like it's, I don't know, it's almost like, I feel like they, to me, the show never used to have a villain of the season kind of thing. And now it seems like that's what they've gone to. Like, oh, this year it's going to be these NFL people. Now we never hear from them again. This year it's going to be, you know, where it used to be like it was all the same people he kept running into, whether it was Hank Azaria in the FBI or if it was one of the cops that works locally.
I feel
there.
Like it was Elliot Gould weird. That held it all together.
He did, and then they killed him.
He's not related to
right.
that anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole movie thing was what kept pulled getting it, people put. You're absolutely right. And they haven't replaced that at all. Interesting.
We're also watching
Roadies.
And I don't dislike it. I just don't. I don't know. I don't. It's sort of like good, but maybe too banal. I don't know. I don't know.
You think it's too banal?
Yeah. I just don't. I'm not like, yeah. I'm not like, oh, let's watch it. Like, it's on. And it's like, okay, I'll watch it. I kind of like Luke. You know, I've always thought he's a halfway decent actor. You know, I don't dislike him. And I like the girl that plays opposite him. I like their chemistry. Mm. And I think that's like a decent will they, won't they. But like, you know, how long is that going to go? A season, I guess. I don't know. And then some of the rock stuff seems, you know, Cameron's so effusive. It kind of comes off indulgent. You know, like, this is the guitar that blah, 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 that did the blah, that on the blah, and the blah, blah, blah. This is the fucking shoe that the blah, 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 that the house of the blah, blah.
He has a lot of reverence for a bunch of white people who stole music from other people. That's pretty funny to me.
I mean,
Just saying.
I yada, yada, yada it, and you went all there, but all
just
right.
saying.
That's you. You get to have the righteous indignation.
Uh-huh. It's very righteous. We don't need to podcast, Dan, this week. I don't think I have one to give, but I just want to mention again that we do have some great guests coming up next week. We have D-Palm from Movie Trailer Reviews and also DudeCrazy.net. Very excited. His first time on the show. Can't wait to chop it up with him. We have Takia coming on the week after that. Mel from The Good and Terrible Show, the lovely and beautiful Beauty Jackson. And we round out the month with our faves from What's the Tea, Nick Ju, and R to the Edgy. Cannot wait for that. Very exciting.
Easy with the word fave. You can give some people a complex.
I'm not giving anybody a complex.
Complex.
Everybody's my fave, but I love Nick Ju and Reggie. I love their show. It's one of my faves. For real, for real.
Now, I'd say there's a handful of shows, and again, I won't name them, but there's a you know, there's maybe like four or five. Like, we listen to things independently, but there's a handful that we listen to very regularly, mm-hmm. and together, and even apart, we'll listen to it.
Yep.
And What's the Tea's on that list?
For sure. I look forward to it every single week.
You know, I kind of think, yeah, there aren't any shows I listen to that aren't really couples. Podcast pairs.
Yeah, that's the kind of shows you like.
Yeah, I do like Rashani, Single Simulcast. Yeah, I think he does a good job.
And the thing about his show is I'm really like, he does his show by himself often, and it's still really, really good. We should have him on soon.
Yeah, I find that I like the rapport between folks.
Yeah.
And Nick Ju and Reggie got good rapport.
They have a great rapport.
They got like, you know, soulmate, like besties, yeah, besties, brother from another mother.
Yeah, type of stuff. Yeah. So anything else you wanted to add in before?
You know, we didn't talk about it, that GoFundMe thing, and it could also go under the This Week in Anti-Blackness.
Oh, yeah. It is so much. I had a bunch of stuff under there, and I was just like, it just depressed me talking about it all, quite frankly. So
there's
I was
just
like,
so much anti-blackness.
It's just like, I can't. I mean, there was the whole hair policy thing from, that school that literally was like, you can't have cornrows, you can't have a fade, you can't have an afro. Literally, this isn't their like actual written things. We had the there's an Afrocentric summer camp in Brazil that white parents are calling it segregation. These motherfuckers that denied that black people even existed in their country are pissed now that they're having a summer camp that quote unquote excludes their white asses. It's just beyond. That's and then as much. You mentioned, this GoFundMe that freezes the account of a black homeless student because they didn't want this white lady to have control of it. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
It was worse, Leslie. The black dude and the white lady have an interaction. It goes viral. All kinds of fucking money is coming in, and she wants her fucking Sandra Tui blindside fucking white savior moment with this black homeless person. There's maybe some, you know, he's not perfect. He's not perfect. And the controversy was that she wanted him to use a trust and a lawyer. And he said, I want my own lawyer.
Right.
Not your fuck ass trust and lawyer. And now they froze the account. And it just, to me, that one just galls me. It just fucking galls me that, like, all this money, all you got no problem, no problem when it's all about you. Look what I'm doing for this black kid. Look what I'm doing.
Look at him, so good.
And the moment he wants some fucking agency over what? The money you're giving him. The money you're giving him. He wants control over the money you're giving
him. How dare he?
The temerity.
He can't have control over the money. He can't be trusted.
And you know what she does? She fucking picks up a phone and they freeze it.
Yep.
And the corporation's like, oh, white woman's concerned. Bloop. And it's like $250,000.
It's crazy.
It's literally like $180,000. As soon as it was her on the Goodwill, like, oh, look at me. I'm a white savior. Oh, wait a minute. The black kid I'm saving doesn't want to be beholden to me forever? Mm. Nope. Freeze the account. Click. Oh, it's
disturbing.
It's just gross.
It's bad. Mm-hmm. Mm. So I think that's it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, there's a lot of people in my sphere online and in real life that are going through a lot, struggling with a lot. And, you know, it's not don't be ashamed to ask for help. And I'm saying this for me. I haven't been doing as good a job as I should in leaning on people for support. Mm. But, you know, keeping your head on straight and self-care and, you know, just mental health, taking care of your mental health. And, you know, I think I'm learning I've got to really manage things in my life better so that the stress doesn't get to the point that I do have problems, you know, mm-hmm. whether that be sleep or this or that. And, you know, maybe that's the wisdom of age. You get 40-something, like, fuck, am I tired of this pattern?
I'm tired of this bullshit.
So, but yeah, you know, if you're out there and you're struggling, you know, reach out. I'm on Twitter. Feel free to chat me and get some support and talk to people. Makes you feel better. Get some help. Mm-hmm. It's not a problem asking for help. But like I said, I know a lot of people. I don't know why. I feel like that Metro grade was one thing. And like, man, just so many people in my life are really in a lot of pain. A lot of folks are hurting.
It's pretty shitty out there in these streets. I told you, I think I'm going to deactivate my Twitter account. I can't. The abuse is beyond, and the platform has done absolutely nothing to combat the vileness that gets thrown at, you know, women generally, but black women. It's just out of control. We have black men that come after us. We have all white people that come after us. It's really just the shittiest place to be. And the thing that gets me about it is I have never in my entire time of being on Twitter jumped into someone's mentions.
I've never trolled somebody in my life.
Not once.
I've never trolled somebody in my life.
I don't use Twitter to talk about other people's stuff. I use Twitter to talk about my own. I talk with people I'm already connected with. I have conversations with them and I share my thoughts on things. I don't feel the need to jump into someone's mentions who I completely disagree with about everything that they're talking about. What good is that? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I have stopped. Excuse me, burping. I've stopped using hashtags. Some hashtags. Yep. I've deliberately, because you just know, like during, mm-hmm. like you know, when I always don't know, is it Corinne. You know that hashtag. They're just, that's like vultures. They're fucking sitting there waiting.
Yep.
They literally go to that hashtag and look for things to just be like, I'm a dick. And I don't know what joy you like. In this honestly, and I had this epiphany a year plus ago about trolls. Because there was a while where they used to irritate me, and I was like, okay, just block or mute. And then people were like, don't feed the trolls, don't respond. And like, you know, once a month as a catharsis, I like to just like kick a troll back, like just, and I'll do it in whatever way I choose. Sometimes I'm like aggressive and mean, and other times I'm just like, you know, you're an idiot, just like over and over and over, you're an idiot, and just dispelling all of their idiocracy. But it's never for the troll. It's always for me or any followers. It's just sort of like what I felt like doing at that exact moment.
Right.
I have never gone to a hashtag and been like, let me fucking find some random person.
Even when they were doing like Blue Lives Matter and also never, like not once never. Have I ever been like, let me go check out never. This fuck ass hashtag I know for sure it's a bunch of people that I really can't stand yeah. and are saying a bunch of shit that's horrible.
I don't I don't understand the one. Do you think it's working? Two, do you what do you if you're whatever it is you're deriving out of that, if that's the nature of your life that you need. You literally, you need, you require the thrill of being a right fucking prick on Twitter to random strangers. That's sad. That's really fucking sad. Like, you're, honestly, your life must be really fucking pathetic. Like, really fucking pathetic. Like, I used to have this, I won't name the person, but I know you know who I'm talking about. Like, call it a nemesis. Like, I haven't had many nemesis in my life, but I had a nemesis in New Orleans.
Oh, and, yeah, you had a nemesis already.
Oh, my God.
That bitch.
Hey, I'm just saying I had a nemesis, okay? But so we go on our, we get married.
That's you. I'm saying she's a bitch.
We go to get married.
She is a bitch.
We go to get married.
I know, you know what? I know she's still a bitch right fucking now. I haven't seen, or smelled that bitch for 10 fucking years, and I still know she's a
bitch. She's unhappy alcoholic.
Horrible.
Anyway, we're getting married. We're literally getting married. We're in Jamaica for like 17 days? Mm-hmm. 17 days, I think it was. And somebody, when I came back, was like, yo, dude, you're not going to believe it. I'm like, what? He's like, I don't know when it was, but it was like maybe like day 10 or day 11. Like, you were gone a long time. But right after you left, every time something would go wrong, the person that was my nemesis would be like, fucking Drew. Drew this.
Drew did
fucking
it.
Drew. Fucking Drew. Drew. And finally, the owner of the chef was like, yo, fuck is wrong with you? He's on his honeymoon, naked and fucking and humping and smoking weed, and you are sitting here. Do you think he's thinking about you? Do you think he's thinking about you? Get over it. That's just like...
Chick was ridiculous. She was really, really absurd.
And I heard that, I was like, man, that's kind of funny. Like, I honestly, like, really, for real, like, straight up, honest to God, the last moment I saw her was the last moment of attention and time
that you gave to her. Why would you give her any additional attention? It's crazy.
Like, I understand. Like, I'm gone for 2 weeks and you're like, my name's coming out your mouth.
Why are you talking about me at all?
Yeah. And I feel like that with these trolls. Like, the fuck? Like, what are you doing? Like, why? What? Whatever it is you derive, it's so sad. I do. I feel it's awful. I hate that you and other black women get the brunt of it. You know, and I, like, for me, like, again, it used to bother me. I think there's a couple things that, like, make it so that it doesn't bother you. One is it's like no amount of engagement is ever going to change anything on Twitter. Just start with that. It's absolutely pointless. So if you're going to, like, give yourself, like, panic and anxiety and shit, like, don't bother. Like, just don't bother. Just block and ignore. Block and ignore. Block and ignore. Then, like, if you're going to engage, like, it's not for that troll. It's for you or someone else that's, like, part of your audience. And be aware of what that, like, entails and does. But, like, these fucking dudes, like, that come at me, I just laugh at them. It's literally just, like, it's comical. It's literally comical. Mm-hmm. Like, the cuck stuff and the fucking, like, beta male and, like, all this shit. It's just laughable. But the shit that comes at you is, like, death and hate and rape and, like, hanging in nooses. That's not laughable.
No.
That's not laughable. And it's, so it's just – and the fact that Twitter's done nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. They're okay because this is just traffic for them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't see it as something that's important to protect people and to provide mechanisms for people to protect themselves. I'm not even saying they have to do it, but they have no – like, something so simple as, like, if I block somebody, they should never be able to fucking tag me in anything ever again. Period. Point blank. And that's not that's not true. That's fucked up. They shouldn't be able to mention me. I have already decided that they need to be excised from my life.
The mentioning you is one thing. The and they can
because
get around
because that's how they call listen, more people to you.
I understand.
That's what
I understand.
They fucking do.
I understand. I'm saying they'd be so easy around it. Your fucking handle with a slash in front of it. Your handle with a period. Your handle without the at. That's not going to be the solution. They're going to be able to call people to you.
I'm not saying that's the solution. What I'm saying is that even that low-hanging, very simple thing that for somebody who is just like a real asshole and isn't making 100 of different
things. I'm saying there's 17 other better, and I can't believe another app maker hasn't been able to do this, that Twitter either doesn't allow this app to exist, but one IP level blocking. These fucking dudes have 20 goddamn TweetDeck accounts. If they're blocked with one fucking account, all accounts on their IP should be blocked. If they block three accounts from this IP, that IP can't have fucking Twitter accounts. Period. They've lost their Twitter fucking access. Right. There should also be collective, like, algorithmic shit. If you see an account get blocked by 82 fucking people in a span of fucking minutes, that account could be put in some kind of, like,
Just jail. Be additionally monitored.
Additionally monitored.
Yeah.
The other one that they could do, and it'd be so fucking easy, and you could literally have it be for me in my mentions and timeline. What do I want to see? What do I want to see in my mentions? A little fucking slider. Do not show me anything from anybody I don't follow. Do not show me anything from anybody that's got an account that's under fucking 1 year old. Do not show me anything from anyone from an account that's got less than 2,000 tweets total. Do not show me anything from any account that's got less than 100 followers.
Right.
You just do all of those things. Give me those fucking filters. You're not stopping those people from tweeting. You're not stopping from advertising and the platform from having it. You're giving me, the user, a way to fucking manage and control the visibility of the shit that's in my fucking purview.
Exactly.
Why is that so fucking hard?
Why can't another app maker do that? Why can't another app maker build into your shit? It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, I have all those filters on my fucking, on the back end, on the tools that I use to manage, like when I used to do the follow back thing, it's called Status Brew. I can literally go in and run a report and see all of those people. I can, like, click all of those same fucking filters. Show me all of these people. Bing, 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 bong, bing, bong, bing, bing. All the people I follow, all the people that follow me, all these different statistics. Put them in a group. Tag them, flag them, mute them. Do whatever the fuck I want. Literally.
Right.
You don't have a fuck. You're an AI? Mute, 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 mute. I can do all that fucking shit with this app, except curate my fucking mentions.
Right.
In the, you know, it's like, I don't get it. I don't fucking get it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's really...
They don't want to.
Yeah, that's really the long story short of it, so...
That's a downer, but let's end it.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
High five.